651-989-5855 is the phone number. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, I am loving all of the people that are tweeting me pictures of them and their pets using the hashtag Better Together. I'm getting a ton. I'm retweeting them all. I love it. It's great. Keep them coming. Send me a picture of your animal.
That's right.
Use the hashtag Better Together.
You can go by TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page. All the details about the Animal Humane Society, the campaign that they're currently doing right now. You can make a donation right online. Of course, you use the hashtag, and there's donations that are made that way. But if you go to the website, you can also click in and find out more about what they do, giving these animals a second chance that they deserve. Right? You know, because they love you even when you step on them. Mistakenly.
Animals get a second chance. Should teachers?
Wow.
That's the question we're asking this morning.
Whoa.
What
are you doing over there?
Trying to
doing transitions.
Segue.
Wow.
I mean, to be fair, though, animals are not teaching our children.
Oh, they teach them valuable lessons.
That's true.
We all learn from our animals.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah,
very true.
The news outlets can do whatever investigative stories they want to do. I don't. That's up to them. I do call into question this, man. The 14 teachers and a social worker, and there's a link in the story where you can go find all their backgrounds, identified in a 5 Eyewitness News investigation, who are currently licensed by the Minnesota Board of Teaching despite having criminal pasts involving sexual misconduct, violence, drugs, and theft. At least 7 of those teachers are currently working in classrooms, and there's no... Usually there's like a catalyst, right? There's no upfront... You know, they mentioned one person at the start of this article here. This individual was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison after he embezzled more than $160,000 that was supposed to feed low-income students in a Wisconsin school. All these teachers are currently teaching children in the Twin Cities. And then you go through all of the stories here and you find out, well, some of them have their records expunged. Mm-hmm. Others individuals went through the process and, you know, let the board know. The board had the discretion to give them jobs. And it feels like... My assumption here is that Channel 5 did an investigative report based off of all the sexual allegations that have been flying around, trying to figure out backgrounds on individuals,
right.
Came up with this lengthy list, yep. But this could have been done last year, could have been done the year before.
There doesn't appear to be some specific incident that sparked this investigation.
Yeah.
So yes, I think your assumption is probably spot on that right now we're in this moment in time where so much attention is being paid to this issue, to the issue of inappropriate behavior done by people in power. And I think Channel 5 said, gee, I wonder if we could find some teachers that have these types of issues. And in that process, found these examples of people with criminal records that got second chances and are in the classroom.
Well, and let's, again, one example here, and then we'll take your phone call, 651-989-5855. This female teacher was arrested after police found, this was in 2009, police found 236 pounds of marijuana in her rental car, according to the sheriff's office. Pled guilty the following year to possession of drugs with the intent to deliver, and received deferred judgment. Board documents show the individual had her court record expunged after she completed probation and paid a fine. She failed to disclose the matter when she tried to renew her license in 2012. The board refused, stating that a teacher cannot serve as a role model when they have 236 pounds of marijuana in their possession. Then she had to wait a number of years. In 2015, the board did reissue this individual a license on the condition they have no criminal convictions. They declined to comment. If I was this person, I mean, I know that she wasn't able to get the renewal in 2012 because she didn't disclose it, but she did again a couple years later, got her license. If I were these people, I'd be ticked off. I'd be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I went through the process. You know, the other individual here that pled guilty to violating, there was a domestic assault against his former spouse in 2001. Again, went through the process. The board approved them, and now their names are being drugged back through. And on top of that, there's a representative that's looking at crafting legislation to keep those individuals that have any criminal background from being able to get teachers' licenses.
One listener tweeted, seems difficult to believe that there is such a shortage of qualified teachers that we can't give priority to those that worked hard and are not criminals. There are other jobs. Consequences don't end at the jailhouse door. I agree with that 100%.
Sure.
if you've got a pool of all things being equal teachers to choose from, and some of them have criminal records and some of them don't, I would absolutely give priority to the ones without criminal records. My question is, should a one-time criminal record disqualify someone from forever being a teacher? I'm not so sure about that.
No, obviously, I'm not either.
Obviously, some crimes, yes, clearly. But, you know, youthful indiscretions, youthful mistakes, things like that, something that isn't a pattern of behavior. I don't know that that should disqualify someone from being a teacher. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Dom in Maple Grove. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. You know, let me say this. Any human being, especially a teacher of kids, needs to have the book thrown at him or her if the allegations are true. Having said that, you know, we address this issue in our own union at our college level, even though it's adults we are teaching, in saying that this should be a zero tolerance issue for the membership, no matter what, if it's proven. However, targeting people you dislike or want to get rid of just based on allegations is the new game in town, especially on social media, because it's a lot of fun to play that game. But, you know, just this morning, you know, it looks like John Conyers, they quietly settled the harassment claim against him over many, many years, I understand. Maybe we should call the Senate Ethics Committee, should be renamed, Don't Get Caught With Your Pants Down Committee. And that's the problem we are having. You know, you have Bill Clinton, you have Bob Menendez, they've all had almost no exposure in the press after all these years. You know, I guess the trick is quickly rise high enough on the economic power structure so you can be eligible for the double standard if you screw up, pun intended.
Thanks for the call, Dom. The issue here of crafting, you know, legislation to keep teachers with similar criminal backgrounds out of the classroom. The representative goes on to say, if there's any shadow of a doubt, then the license should not be given. Without knowing the details of every circumstance, based off of what this report put together, it sounds like in several of these circumstances, the license wasn't given until the individual corrected the behavior. I agree. If you've got quality individuals that want to be teachers that don't have a criminal background, they should get priority over those that do have a criminal background. But I'm also not willing to say, without seeing the individuals of every single hire, what they were being hired for, what their specialty is, what they were trained for, who the pool of applicants was, to go and make that decision. We have these school boards for a reason. I'm with you. I don't trust the Minneapolis school board either, but that's where the issue should go to. Yeah. The issue should go to, what is the Minneapolis school board's criteria? Did any of these individuals slip through the cracks? And is there any circumstance in which a person was questionably hired with a criminal past and then ended up committing more wrongdoing, serving as the example of why? Because so far in all these stories, there hasn't been, in what they profiled, and you would assume they would have brought that to the forefront if it had taken place. None of these stories seem to point to anybody who had a criminal background, was given a license by the board, and then went and did something bad as a teacher. The one person that had the worst one in here that was accused of fondling a couple of individuals who currently has a license, they said they were unable to find out whether or not they even had a gig. And even in that circumstance, that individual went far enough to get a license despite the criminal background. It all feels very witch hunty to me, and I don't like that.
It does feel like if one of these teachers, you know, use the one that got caught with the drugs, right? It was had marijuana in a rental car and pled out. If that was just a one-time thing, you know, just a mistake that was made, then there's no reason to drag this teacher's name through the mud again.
Yeah. And that's a bad thing. 236 pounds of marijuana, that's bad. They're going to sell it and all that. But you know what? We do have a process in this country where we allow people to go and correct their past mistakes. I've got a stepbrother who I don't maintain contact with, but I do keep an ear out and find out about how he's doing. He has an extensive criminal background. But you know what? He spent a lot of time in prison and has gotten out and has spent years rehabilitating himself. Now, he's leading not the best life in the world, but he also has rehabilitated and does have a job serving the community and has done everybody deserves that second chance. Right. And this you know, Channel 5 going out and just, let's go start digging in the backgrounds of all these individuals that have jobs and find out what they did in the past and go and put their names in the report. And look, they have criminal backgrounds. That just seems really icky. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah. It doesn't seem right to me without having. Usually you have some catalyst. Like if they had said, in the wake of all the recent allegations of sexual misconduct, we decided to conduct this investigation. Like, they've been upfront about it. I've been like, hey, at least you were honest as to why you did it.
Right, right. If there were an incident with a teacher that got past the board, then I can see why this investigation would be launched. But I tend to agree with you. It does feel like they just wanted some muck to rake.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not 100% sure it was necessary. And in this case, right, you want to talk about the consequences. Here you have a representative who is looking at crafting legislation to keep these individuals from getting jobs. Well, would that end up meaning all these people that maybe have held down these jobs and are really good quality teachers and were hired completely above board would end up losing their gigs over this?
Maybe. Possibly.
651-989-5855. Continue to send in your photos of you and your pets. You're bringing a ton of joy, not just to the American Humane Society.
But to me.
To animals, but to Drew over here. He's losing his mind getting all these animal pictures.
Pictures are so cute.
It was really funny. I went to go put the post up this morning on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and I was looking for photos. I almost used it, but I realized this doesn't work. I had a picture of Sam from inside your booth, holding all your stuffed animals.
Oh!
And you look so happy. And I was like, oh, I should use that photo. I go, well, but those aren't real pets.
But I am better together with my stuffed animals.
True.
And
but
my real animals.
One and your, you should, one with you and Clark. Have you put one out there yet?
I will put one out with me and Clark.
Yeah, and hashtag better together.
Yes,
need
Sam.
To put one. Yeah, what's up with that?
Why are you holding back?
I have so many pictures of me and animals, I can't pick one.
You could put a lot of hashtag pictures, yeah.
Yeah, why do you have to pick one?
Yeah.
I don't have to.
They'll get better retweets than Minor Drew's from Bella and Buttons. You and Clark are going to get more retweets and the hashtag out there more than ours, for crying out loud. All right, Star Tribune. Paid sick leave went into force in the summer, and the municipal minimum wage will start to take effect in January. But the city of Minneapolis has so far invested little towards enforcing the sweeping new rules.
Because once they're done and they get to pat themselves on the back and the politicians get the credit for it, they don't care anymore. That's all they care about.
I know.
They just care about the credit.
So blatant.
It's so blatant.
So let me get this straight. The city didn't trust the businesses to make the best decisions for its employees, nope. Right? But it does trust them to go and follow their egregious rules.
The bottom line, because a lot of them will. It's that threat of enforcement,
right? Right.
That they're using the threat of enforcement.
Well, and it tells you,
but to actually go and put the mechanisms in place to enforce it, well, that's too much work for the city. I mean, God, I mean, you know, we passed it and we all went out there and we held press conferences and we had photo ops and it's going to help us get reelected. I mean, what more do you want from us? We're just hack politicians.
It tells you how little the activists, these paid sick leave, the minimum wage crowd, your Ginger Jensens, it tells you how little they actually care about helping individuals out than they do about just winning the argument. Because if anybody was going to be, you know, upfront about it and pushing the Minneapolis City Council to make sure there was funding to enforce this, it should have been them. But they're also smart enough to know, or just, you know, devious enough to know, that bringing that to light probably was going to be a huge, massive negative because they didn't really have the money in the budget to go and add the manpower to go and enforce their ridiculous rules.
And they don't care.
Right.
And they don't care.
The city's Labor Standards Enforcement Division consists of two investigators tasked with explaining and enforcing the ordinances. The proposed 2018 budget, which the city council will work through on December 1st, doesn't include enough money for a third worker. This could be a problem, said the director of the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, as the minimum wage kicks in next year with a 12-month grace period for the sick leave rule ends. I just want to throw in there because I love making this point. I love the grace period. We really want people to get the money that we feel like they deserve their living wage, but we're also totally fine with it taking a really long time before they get there. Right. It just tells you, another example of how this is just so much style over substance.
Velma Korbel, the director of the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, says the first time we get one of these major cases where we have to go in and review lots of payroll records and interview lots of people, my fear is that the type of investigation could take weeks, perhaps months. I just don't want to put us in a position where we get behind because people are counting on us to ensure that they are made whole.
Well, you know what? It's the government. I'm sure they won't get behind.
And that was one of the biggest issues that I had and that a lot of businesses had with this stupid sick leave ordinance. Is keeping track of that type of paperwork, putting that onus, putting that burden on businesses that are already, you know, super thin and taxed to the gills, is that's enough to shut down some business.
Oh, easily.
Just trying to keep track of that type of paperwork is insane.
651-989-5855. You can also use, of course, the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We'll get to more of this article from the Star Tribune. Proposed Minneapolis budget includes little money to enforce the new labor ordinances. Also, we'll spin back around to the most recent allegations. Charlie Rose suspended amid claims of sexual harassment accusations. Ex-wife, you know, speaking of going out and searching for these things, the ex-wife of Representative Tony Cornish once obtained a domestic abuse protection order against him. Also a story out of the Star Tribune. It's interesting in light of that investigation that was done by Channel 5, because according to the story, Representative Tony Cornish and his wife now have a great friendship, and they spend a lot of time together. This was another sort of pulling of his past in looking into his past because of these allegations. A little bit more warranted considering there were already allegations against him, but we'll give you all the latest details coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Your shot.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam.
I'm not impressed by your dance moves.
You should be. I got
really.
I got moves.
You're doing like the awkward dad groove thing.
Well, you know, that's because I knew you were watching too, so I was kind of hamming it up a little bit.
And he's an awkward dad.
True story there too.
How else is he supposed to dance?
That's fair. That's fair.
When I get here in the morning, I have my headphones in, and I've got a playlist that I work through, right? And so there's a few people here, and the people that are usually in the studios already. So there'll be moments where I'm walking down, and I'll kind of be strutting, getting my groove on.
Your groove on.
Yeah, kind of walking around. But then I realize...
The most ungroovy groove.
True story. But I'll look up, and I'll see the cameras there, and I'll go, you know what? Is there a chance that somebody is pulling all this footage? And I'll just kind of stop. I probably shouldn't. Just own it. I can't help it. I got the rhythm.
It's like nobody's watching.
Yeah, you know what, Sam? If you haven't heard before, it's true. The rhythm is going to get you. Just saying.
For the better.
651-989-5855. We're gonna jump back for just a moment. And the story that we were talking about earlier, this investigation out of Channel 5, 14 teachers, the school social worker identified in a five eyewitnesses investigation who are currently licensed by the Minnesota Board of Teaching despite having criminal past involving sexual misconduct, drugs, and theft. At least seven of those teachers are currently working in classrooms. We had a tweet from an individual who basically kind of said, just, you know, go ahead and clean house on these individuals. I'm trying
that
to.
Seems
I'm trying
to be the consensus. I got an email from a listener, Mary, saying, the subject of the email is no, no, no. And the email reads, they can find something else to do. They don't have to be teachers. And in my humble opinion, should not. Sorry, but that's the consequence. And I don't want them teaching kids.
Yeah. Drain the Swamp on Twitter says, I suppose it's fitting, says these crooked teachers that commit crimes didn't just commit one crime. They got caught once. Get rid of them and get clean new teachers out of college. And look. Based off of the examples that the investigative report gave, the one individual with the most egregious some allegations against women, but was still granted a license because he'd gone through the process of whatever the rehabilitation was, they couldn't even find if he had a gig. All the other circumstances, and some of these crimes were bad, the individuals were either denied a license because they didn't bring it to the forefront and then had to wait several years, and when they did, they were cleared. But all of them ended up being cleared by the school board. I do call into question not just the reporting in the story and the reason why I brought it back kind of out of nowhere, but also this idea that We're not going to allow individuals who've gone through, who've had past indiscretions, have gone through rehabilitation, have done their time for their crime, and may be good teachers now, because there's a representative, and we're going to talk to one here, who and another representative who was thinking about introducing legislation to bar teachers who have criminal backgrounds from getting gigs.
There are certain crimes that I think should disqualify you from becoming a teacher. Anything involving harming a child, obviously. Certain physical assault type crimes. But I am not comfortable making a blanket statement of, you know, anything on your criminal record disqualifies you from all time from being a teacher, because young people make mistakes, and I do not want to see anybody's life get ruined because of a mistake they made in their 20s and got caught doing. Representative Nick Zerwas, good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, sorry to call in late. I was dropping the monster off, but I wanted to provide some context for the Channel 5 report. This was a follow-up investigation report from an earlier investigation that Channel 5, I think a few others, kind of hopped on regarding the Board of Education and the State Board of Teaching. There are several instances that were reported where school districts reported directly to the Board of Teaching allegations of inappropriate sexual conduct between teachers and students, and the Board of Teaching decided not to call the police and not to alert the authorities, but to do their own investigation, and then in many instances clear the teachers and let them go back to teaching.
Now, are you certain? Are you certain that was I only asked because the story that we had this morning, teachers with criminal past licensed by state board, doesn't give any reference. Because I remember that story, we covered it. Doesn't give any reference to that previous story. So, are we certain they're tied together? Because this felt like this was a fishing expedition based off of all the allegations of sexual misconduct that have been going on.
No, I'm not. On the television reports, it highlighted the connection from the
previous. Okay, all right, okay. Well, I should do that in the written one.
I agree. And so I think that the challenges of the troubling nature is this is another example of a Board of Teaching that just has a reputation in multiple instances now of not treating some of these instances with the, in many people's opinion, the proper severity or the weight that they're owed. Remember that in the earlier report, the Board of Teaching response was, well, we don't think we're mandated reporters. And so we don't think we're required by law to tell the police when we get reports of teachers having inappropriate sexual contact with students. Which is just baffling, and clearly Chair Loon, the education chair in the House, Jennifer Loon, said that is something that they will deal with in the legislature in this upcoming session. We've had this conversation before around licensing boards, occupational licensing boards within the state of Minnesota, and there's been the articles from the Star Tribune about the Police Officer Standards and Training Board. We had a couple years ago an investigation into the Nursing Board, and now further investigation into the Board of Teaching. I think it's a likely time that many of these boards and the requirements for licensure for these positions, especially when it's licensing someone to work with vulnerable Minnesotans, whether it's sick or vulnerable adults or children, we ought to take a second and hard look at what the disqualifications are for those jobs and make sure that those disqualifications still make sense and to see if they should be updated at all. Many of these, the board for police officers, haven't really been examined in 25 to 30 years. So it's probably time to give a good thorough vetting to what can disqualify you for holding a license for some of these occupations.
Well, and Nick, thanks so much for calling in and clarifying on a couple of different points, because one, you know, like I said, not seeing the televised one, just reading the story here that I have in my hands from Channel 5, it has no reference to those previous ones. So contextually, that's important. And two, the context that you provide, in my opinion, helps out a lot more, because I absolutely agree with everything that you just said. And for me, even though it's to no fault of Representative Kelly Fenton, but to have just the statement in the article of... she plans to introduce legislation to keep teachers with similar criminal past out of the classroom. Doesn't provide the proper context either. I mean, it opens it up to the conversations that we had. So that's more on the reporting. And I just wanted to say thanks to you for calling in and adding the necessary context and details to what is actually taking place here.
Yeah, and between Chair Lewin and the work that Representative Fenton has been doing on the licensure issue within the Board of Teaching, Minnesota should know that we're in very good hands between two representatives that are looking to advocate to keep children safe and make sure that the very best and qualified teachers are within our classrooms. And I think that's what we should expect.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.
Have a good Thanksgiving. We look forward to having you back on the roundtable next week, because we will be off on Friday. Thanks a lot, Representative Zerwas. Gobble, gobble.
I think Nick saying gobble, gobble is the highlight of my holiday.
May I not eat a turkey that has that gobble, gobble?
Gobble, gobble.
Sounds like one that's just about ready to become a meal.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Enjoy your gravy.
Why didn't Trump pardon me? I would definitely thank him if he did.
651-989-5855. Thank you, Nick. You provided some really necessary clarity right then. All right, coming up, a few more items on this proposed Minneapolis budget. Includes a little money for new enforced labor laws. Charlie Rose was suspended amid the sexual harassment accusations. time permitting, I got a bone to pick, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, with both of you guys. Time permitting.
What did I do?
Because you mocked me for something we did in our household, and it turns out that I was absolutely correct in what I did.
Keep sending those pictures in via Twitter of your pets. Use that hashtag #BetterTogether. Every time you do that, Animal Humane Society of Minnesota gets $10. Let's help raise some much-needed funds for Animal Humane Society.
And I do believe we have Representative Kelly Fenton on the line. We'll bring her up in just a moment. Appreciate her calling in, and we'll get further clarity on the story that we've been talking about throughout the morning of these teachers with criminal past licensed by state board. Coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Final segment of Justice and Drew for your Tuesday that feels like a Thursday. We are off on Thanksgiving, and Brian McDaniel and Mike Franklin will be a guest hosting on Friday for the roundtable.
You know, this story, we're going to get to our guest here in just a moment, out of Channel 5, teachers with criminal past licensed by state board. None of it sat well with me from the get-go. And, I mean, there's a lot of interesting details within the story in and of itself, but whether or not this was attached to a previous investigation, 14 teachers and a school social worker identified in an Eyewitness News investigative, 5 Eyewitness News investigation who are currently licensed by the Minnesota Board of Teaching despite having criminal past involving sexual misconduct, violence, drugs, and theft. It didn't feel like there was enough in here to get the full scope of what this entails. And the bringing to light of these particular issues. The one individual that we've been highlighting that's mentioned in the story, Representative Kelly Fenton, who said just when you think it can't get any worse with the Board of Teaching, new information emerges. And we're very pleased to welcome to the show Representative Kelly Fenton. Thank you so much for calling in. And we had Nick Zerwas on a moment ago and provided a little bit more background on this. And is it your understanding that this particular investigation was also tied to the previous story from Channel 5?
So this investigation is actually a little bit different because of the state statute that is currently in place. And that statute allows the Board of Teaching discretion for licensing of teachers. Now, there's a list of things that say absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely not. But then you have this gray area where they allow discretion. So this really has to do with current state statute. And when you look at, like, our neighboring state of Wisconsin, they have a law that says, when they do a background check, if a teacher has a felony conviction, then there's a waiting period. I believe their waiting period is 6 years. And then they can come back and reapply and go through that process again to be issued a license. So it really has to do with a loophole or law that should be tightened here in the state of Minnesota.
Do you think that some of the individuals who are, because they only profile one, two, like five of the individuals of the 14 that they have linked to in the story, do you think that some of these individuals that they listed in the story, even though it looks as if they went through the proper sort of rehabilitation, they did their crime, they did their time, and were hired by the school board, do you think they shouldn't have been hired by the school board? Should they be allowed, if we were to change things, to be able to keep their jobs?
So with some of these, when you go back and look at the convictions, I think it's outrageous that they were issued licenses. Listen, I'm a former teacher and I'm a former school administrator, as well as a parent of three. And one thing that we need to do is also, on top of a quality education, we need to put the safety of our students as a top priority.
Sure, absolutely.
And one of the problems with this is that, you know, when you compare Wisconsin law to Minnesota state statute, and that's just a neighboring state, right? Just right across the border from my district. But what happens is they essentially are using their discretion to give the license, but then these teachers are on their honor to go back and say, hey, I had another conviction. So essentially what the reporter found, Eric Shalow found, is that they're not following up to continually check to see what is happening, and these teachers are on their honor. I think if there's a shadow of a doubt that we're compromising the safety of our students, then a license should not be issued. I mean, you had someone convicted of domestic abuse. Somebody got fired for stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from the school lunch program for children in need. And then I think the other thing that's outrageous is some of these teachers were put, licensed and put with our most vulnerable students, and some students who likely can't speak up for themselves. So we really need to look at tightening the law, and that I'm working on that currently, because I think you're right. You want to find that correct balance, because some people do have instances fall down on their time. They work really hard to be good citizens. I think that's what Wisconsin law exemplifies, is that there's this waiting period, and it shows that you've really got back into society, you're an upstanding citizen, and have this waiting period checked. So I'm currently looking at alternatives or ways to find that right balance.
Well, and that certainly sounds, and this is not, I'm obviously talking Representative Kelly Fenton, not on you. I'm kind of putting this on the reporting, because the reporting kind of gives this, in quoting you here, they give this sort of blanket statement. And what it sounds like, what you're detailing is more of a, no, we want to tighten up the requirements that we have so far to make sure that that there is as little opportunity for somebody to slip through the cracks who shouldn't be a teacher. And right now, there is a higher probability of that happening. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's the understanding that I'm getting from hearing you.
Well, I think perhaps we need to look at current statute and perhaps define more clearly who gets licenses and who does not get licenses.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen, and that's exactly what I'm working on. I do think that there was there's a lacking of common sense. There was a lack of common sense when some of the when these licenses were issued. So I ask, you know, where is the common sense when you put someone convicted of assault in a classroom with children? Where is the common sense when you put someone hundreds of pounds of marijuana in their trunk on a high school property? I mean, where is the common sense?
That was left off the story.
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah,
that little detail wasn't in the story.
That little detail wasn't. It says it was in a rental car, but they did nothing about it being on a high school.
Well, it's a high. I'm sorry, it's a high school. It's a high school teacher.
Okay, gotcha.
A high school teacher,
but, where's the accountability? So, I mean, fortunately, we don't have any examples, at least not, you know, at the ready, of a teacher who possibly shouldn't have gotten approved and got themselves in a classroom and did something that maybe actually caused some harm. Not that it hasn't happened, we just don't have an example. But if that were to happen, where does that accountability fall on the Board of Teachers? Is there any accountability to the Board of Teachers currently?
Currently, I feel that there's not enough accountability there, and I've got to praise Representative Loon and Representative Erickson, who head of education finance, head of education policy, have done their due diligence to really reform the Board of Teaching. It will no longer be called the Board of Teaching. So, but we need to make sure as we transition into the new organization, that we make sure our laws are crystal clear and that they are not left open for government bureaucracy to define it themselves.
Representative Kelly Fenton, thank you so much for calling in. Really valuable input in this conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Call in anytime. Take care.
Bye-bye.
651-989-5855. One more quick point on this, and then we can move on here. Getting back to the Star Tribune article, the proposed Minneapolis budget includes little money to enforce new labor ordinances. The paid sick leave ordinance, which requires that employers award workers 1 hour of leave for every 30 hours in the job, became law in July. For the first year, the city is handling reported violations, 60 so far, by mediating disputes and issuing warnings. But by July, the sick leave violations will be punishable by fines. Also, the municipal minimum wage steps up for large businesses January 1st and for all businesses on July 1st. At a recent budget meeting, council members Elizabeth Glidden and Andrew Johnson pressed the city finance staff to explain why the position wasn't fully funded. The mayor, Betsy Hodges, had proposed in the budget to authorize the division to have one more person and add $60,000 to its budget, but a full-time employee would cost about $100,000,
right,
including health insurance and other benefits. And
including the insurance and benefits that they imposed on other businesses as well.
And they didn't include it.
Oh.
So we said we passed unanimously this minimum wage, and I personally think that we have an obligation to ensure we're properly enforcing it, according to Glidden. The enforcement division, created in 2016 after the sick leave ordinance passed, has a budget of less than $200,000 and two staffers, a supervisor, and an attorney each conduct investigations.
There is no chance that they are properly staffed.
No way. Oh, no way.
Specifically the sick leave.
Yeah.
Specifically the sick leave mandate. The amount of paperwork that has to be combed through to make sure that you're documenting every hour worked and every hour of sick leave accumulated and what they take and what they don't. There's no way they can properly enforce that.
Budget Director Micah Intermill told council members that the additional $60,000 in the division's 2018 budget could be used for public campaigns to explain the ordinance or to help pay for another investigator, to which Corbell responded, "There's not money lying around the Civil Rights Department for us to just find." By the way, you want your example? Here's your example of how much money they actually need. Seattle, much larger than Minneapolis and has more labor ordinances, has a 23-person Office of Labor Standards with a $5.7 million budget, and was also granted $3.2 million over 2 years to community organizations that help low-wage workers understand the rules and connect with investigators. 3.2 million just to explain to low-age workers that they understand the rules. Yes.
3.2 million. Holy moly.
You know, I look forward to...
23-person Office of Labor Standards, a $5.7 million budget. You know, Minneapolis is like, we're just going to pass the laws, pat ourselves on the back, go out, take all the credit, and then not bother. Man, not bother really enforcing it.
The amount of money that's going to be spent in litigation, you know, over businesses fighting against this and how long it takes, and they're going to just try to nickel and dime them. Right. You know, they're just going to try to find them.
Oh, and
find them to death.
Oh, and don't think that there isn't some graft going on as well. You've got the CTUL, Veronica Mendez Moore, co-president of the Workers Center in Minneapolis, said they are lobbying for the budget to fund 5 investigators, and they want $500,000 in grants for organizations like themselves. Because they're connected to the low-wage workers already.
So,
you know, just $500,000 in grants, and if you wanted to give some of that to us or all of it to us, that'd be fine. We would help.
And then,
spread the word.
And then you have to...
It's okay.
You have to... And then you have to back up to remember that we're talking about, you know, the government going and imposing how much... a business is going to go and pay their workers. You know, I mean, that's just when you have to back up further, getting back to the whole.
If they've got an extra $500,000, why don't you give it to the businesses to help them withstand this blow that you're imposing upon them?
Right.
No, I'm not going to do that. Just give it to nonprofits so that they can go out and educate people.
Let's go and Josh wants to comment on the teacher conversation that we were having over the investigation in teachers with criminal backgrounds getting approved by the board to have their jobs within the Minneapolis schools. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for holding on. What's your comment?
My name is Scott, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry there, Scott.
No. I was just going to say, why don't we have the teachers fill out the paperwork for the next background check to buy a gun? Because that would have eliminated all of those teachers that got licensed, just filling out the form.
Okay.
So, set a standard. If you can buy a gun, you can get a teacher's license, because I think it's a win-win for a lot, because a lot of these people that are anti-gun would then all of a sudden realize how difficult it actually is to also get a gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a simple deal. If you can fill out the 4473 and pass the NICS background check, you can get a teacher's license.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Scott.
Scott.
Josh Scott.
it's written that way. All right. So, Drew.
Yeah. You got a beef with me.
I got a beef with you.
You got a bone to pick with
me. I do.
And Sam, apparently.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I'm almost glad that she's on the phone right now. Oh, wait. Too late. All right. So, I know you did. I don't know if Sam did.
I have a bone to pick with both of you, too.
I don't know if you did, Sam, but I know Drew did. Okay. Gave me a hard time for my wife putting up the Christmas tree last week.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Rightfully so. Well, it was a week and a half before Thanksgiving.
Not according to the Daily Mail, because according to the Daily Mail
is wrong.
Christmas people who crack out the tinsel and fairy lights the soonest may simply be more nostalgic and in touch with their inner child. So you both take that.
All right, Mr. Justice, can you tell me? Are you and your wife just that in touch with your inner child?
No, but I am. Putting up your decorations earlier.
First of all, there's no inner child.
Well,
just John.
Just child.
It's just there.
I wear my inner as an outer. Putting up your decorations earlier may make you feel happier by helping you to reconnect with a time before the stresses and strains of adult life. Yeah, see?
They're giving too much credit to tinsel, okay?
Previous research has found...
I am just as cheery as the next person.
You know what? In previous research, you want to be a good citizen, right?
Right, of the planet.
Of the planet, whatever. Your neighborhood, yeah.
Wherever
you reside.
A global citizen.
Yeah. Previous research has found that decorating the outside of your house makes you appear more friendly to your neighbors.
Oh, so but it's all a charade.
Doesn't matter.
Just appears more friendly.
No, it makes you that guy that has all of his Christmas stuff up. A week and a half before Thanksgiving.
Listen to the sage words of psychoanalyst Steve McEwen, founder of Mind Fixers and the owner of McEwen Clinic, who says he's a believer in getting into the Christmas spirit as early as possible.
Like
listen to the psychoanalyst. Scrooges.
I just never take down my Thanksgiving. You know, we've actually, true story, we have had a Christmas tree up in our barn all year.
Nice. Yeah, but that's your barn. That doesn't count.
But we just decorate it for every season.
How brown is it?
No, I mean, it's fake.
Oh, okay.
We put a real tree in the house, a fake tree in the barn, because if we put a real tree in the barn, then the goats would eat it.
The very intelligent McEwen says, although there could be a number of symptomatic reasons why someone would want to obsessively put up decorations early, most commonly...
Yeah, like mentally unstable and psychosis?
Nostalgic reasons, either to relive the magic or compensate for past neglect. Yeah, it's just reliving magic and compensating for neglect. That's all.
Who's neglected you?
In a world full of stress and anxiety, like working with you guys, people like to associate to things that make them happy, and Christmas decorations evoke those strong feelings of childhood. Why do you want to deny your inner child, Drew?
I don't deny my inner child. My inner child manifests itself in ways that do not involve early Christmas decorating.
Now we're ahead of the curve.
Appropriate Christmas
decorations. Decorations are simply an anchor or a pathway to those old childhood magical emotions of excitement, which is also why I surround myself with Star Wars toys. So putting up those Christmas decorations early extends that excitement.
There is no inner child with John.
Yeah.
It's just John.
I embrace my inner child.
It's not inner.
I showcase him proudly.
He's still sleeping in a race car bed.
That's not true. I mean, I would
it
if they
true.
Made
I've
if,
seen it.
That's not true. I would. It would if they made one my size. But then I'd have to change it to match the car it paint scheme just... every single year, and that would become really costly.
You could just paint it yourself. Just paint your own.
Remember,
race car
I'm not that handy. I know I fixed your shoe, but I'm not that handy.
You did fix my shoe.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk to Abby Honold. She's the woman who is working on a bill to change how sexual assault survivors are interviewed after their attacks. We will have an interview with her tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Keep using that hashtag #BetterTogether and sending pictures of your animals.
You stole his thunder.
I know, he totally did.
Sorry.
I know.
Yeah,
he did,
just
totally
keep
did.
Doing it.
Hashtag
#BetterTogether.
I don't give Miss Sarah.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a